Okay, here we are, and it's Friday, and it's hot, in many places around the country. Hope where you are, it's tolerable. The world as we knew it is not coming back. I'm not the first to say that. I've been saying that for a number of years. It's being completely, I'd use the term terraformed, but that's incorrect. It is being reformatted. Everything's being reformatted, and AI is leading the way. You won't hear that very often, except perhaps here and a few other places. But study up. Stay up to speed on AI. It's huge. All right. Are you there, young lady?
I am.
Oh, back again. Can't keep her away. Okay. She's back. What will we do without you? All right. This whole field of endeavor. Now, you've been studying this area of biophysiology and nanotechnology and all things therein for, decades. And it is so complex and convoluted now. It's a field day for the disinformation professionals. It's so easy to send the masses running down this cul-de-sac or that cul-de-sac or Graphene Boulevard, or come on, it's crazy. It's simple to misdirect people, and to bring them back is not easy, because once they grab onto something that they think sounds, has to be true, because such and such said it. Well, that's not necessarily true anymore. But trying to get to realistic, hardcore pieces of the puzzle to put up on the table for all of us to see and for you to consider, it's what we're all about. And there are a lot of things that have been learned about this. Not enough, perhaps, but there are a lot. And it is a very, very difficult situation to try to present this without wanting to go off in 10 different directions to keep the whole story glued together properly. It's a very unprecedented crisis that we're facing. And if it's true, and it's my speculation, and I think Erica agrees, that they probably feel that they have, by and large, succeeded. They've gotten 14 billion injections into 8 billion people, or 80% of 8 billion people. They've got 700 million injections dished out here in the U.S. to 80% of our population, which is about 270 million, give or take. So they're just sitting back now and tallying up the dying and the dead, and they've done it. So they don't care if people online, and many of you have noticed that people like Beef Stew and even Mikey, the health ranger, have begun talking about Jews. They're using the J word. And they wouldn't have done that 2 years ago, believe me. So it goes along with my thesis that they, being largely Jewish, at least certainly in their ownership and power structure, don't really care if the truth is out there anymore. So why not give some of their platforms more credibility by having them talk about the powers that be that control most of the Western world? And that's the Rothschild, Zionist, Khazarian mafia. Think about it. That's what it is. They're not making this up. Anyway, so we think there's an argument to be made, at the very least, that they have largely, in their minds, succeeded in denuding the planet of a lot of human beings, reducing our species numbers, a considerable number, down to whatever it is they think that they want. So we hope we're wrong, but so far the evidence is pointing in the other direction, that we're right. So just to sum it up, and while we talk, and since we've been with you Monday, Tuesday, and now Friday, each day that passes, more people die. And you're not hearing about it. It's being covered up. Or more people are diagnosed with sudden onset stage 4 cancers, or CJD, prion disease. And now, if you go back and listen to Monday's program, you really should. We have a whole different way of looking at least many, if not all, turbo cancers, those that have appeared within the past 4 years, and usually, almost invariably, in those who haven't been injected. They took the shot, and now they're in real trouble. Now, that's not to exclude those who haven't taken the shot and who have been shed upon. They're in trouble, too. And we know some of them have died from things like turbo cancer. This thing is really ugly, and it's got so many. Think of the Medusa head, and I'll multiply that by 1,000, and that's probably more closely related to what we're talking about in terms of potentialities. They're just endless of what these weapons can do to the body. And the more times you get the virus, it does seem that the more long-lasting the results of being infected with that bioweapon virus are. And those are not things you want. So you don't want to treat this like, oh, it's just a common cold. It's not. It's much worse than that. Anyhow.
I would agree. I think, you know, this is not saying live in fear or total isolation, but just be cognizant of the risk, because, you know, a common cold doesn't result in cognitive decline, typically, or you know, ravaging your cardiovascular system.
Or looking 20 years old in a week, older.
Yeah,
week.
Or destroying, you know, your immune system. The immune system, you know, really takes a big hit. The drop in white blood cells after one of these infections is fairly significant and prolonged. And, you know, if you encounter the virus again, or another virus for that matter, your defenses are really, really low. And to try to overcome it a second time, it gets harder and harder with each successive infection.
Right. The lower
probably
your
because
immune...
you haven't cleared the last one. I mean, there's a lot of viral debris that gets left behind
good.
With this infection, and part of that is because of the severe oxidative stress. Now, when a cell dies, if it's a programmed cell death, it's very orderly, and the contents of the cell are packaged up nicely, so they don't incite the immune system. But when the cell death occurs through something like iron overload, or even, well, now we know about copper overload, or any other cell death other than apoptosis, it's a messy, messy process. And the contents of the cells are not well contained, and they
garbage
can end
all
up
all over your body. Yes.
Yeah. It's very messy, and it does provoke the immune system, and that's how you end up getting these autoimmune, well, one of the ways you end up getting autoimmune diseases, and, you know, they're known as oxidative-specific epitopes, and they are very, they have the power to really engage the immune system so that you end up with things like lupus or rheumatoid arthritis or, any long list of autoimmune diseases that you don't want.
It's a long list. Here's the deal. If your immune system has been dealt a blow, if it's compromised, and if you've been sick with the bioweapon virus, and for God's sake, if you've taken the shot, you have been damaged. Your immune system has been severely damaged. And this may sound like a commercial, but it's the truth. I had another email from somebody the other day who said that, and I'm going to paraphrase it, but I'm very close, Allison C., is the most powerful, best antibiotic in the world. Now, that came from not a doctor, but a normal one of us. But it was something that came from experience. They've used it, they've seen what it does, and they will not be without it. And I'm suggesting in this day and age, whether you're shot up or not, you should take one capsule a day to help give what's left of your immune system, however much is left, functionally speaking, give it a boost. Put that Allison C into your body so you can use it. It'll be there. It's antiviral, antibacterial, anti a lot of things. It's nature's perfect antibiotic antiviral. It's a wonderful product. And the other side of that coin, and we really believe in this, is biosuperfood. each little capsule made from four of the most potent algaes on the planet contains, each capsule, over 15,000 different nutrients, many of which you're never going to see if you eat the average American diet. So how can your body possibly function? Now, if you put your body under attack with the virus or the shot, you're in double need. You're in dire need of these nutritional elements that you're not getting. So those two things really go hand in hand, and it's the only thing that I can 100% stand behind. I've been handling Allicin C for over 20 years, and I've seen things happen that are astonishing. And nothing works for everyone all the time. There's no magic bullet, okay? But it's the best bullet I've ever seen.
It also has anticoagulant or antiplatelet properties. I forget which. Well, you know, it's very good for the blood. And I just dug up that report that we had a while back from the multiple chemical sensitivity group about somebody mm-hmm. that was very, very bothered with smells and having awful problems with smells, mostly fluorochemicals, so bad I can taste them, but others around me smell nothing. This bout has been 10 days of insomnia, nausea, tight chest, dizziness. The list goes on. Family doesn't believe me either. I also get neck, throat, and gland pain. Using my phone seems to make it worse also, and I'm lost and pretty scared. And someone replied to that. This is really fascinating. This just happened to me. I went through many antibiotics and binders, and nothing helped. Many doctors. I went to a Chinese medical doctor, Momo, who was actually Japanese. She gave me four things. One was awful. One did nothing. One kind of helped. But the Zhang Clinic Allicin cured all of these symptoms in 48 hours. Actually feel amazing now, and no more dizziness or chemical sensitivity at all.
Wow. There's your Allicin. Right on
the
homepage, you'll see it, Allicin
too.
C. Yes.
You know, it's very rich in these sulfur compounds that the body can use to detoxify. So that may be why it worked in this situation, or maybe she had a bacterial thing. Who knows?
Well, that's a good report. Very good report. I'm not surprised. I've seen many things that are very encouraging. The issue of cancer and turbo cancer now, which really wasn't around over 4 years ago, well, we can't draw a definitive line, but that's the best we can do. These turbo cancers, as you'll find out if you go listen to Monday's program, is not necessarily predicated on normal, out-of-control cell replication and division. It's not. It's a different thing. They've now begun to look at turbo cancer tumors and masses, and they've found virtually 100% spike protein damaged or occupied or ruined cells and spike protein. That's what they're finding. This is a major sea change in the whole industry of oncology. And it is an industry, believe it. So there's another one for you. But that's in Monday's program. So we'd urge you to listen to that.
Yeah, the cancer thing isn't going away. In fact, it's exploding, really. And not that it wasn't exploding before, but it's really mind-bending what's happening with that.
Right. I wish Arnie Burkhart were here. He'd jump all
know
over
it.
This.
Yeah. I know it.
All right. Well, we have some more to play for you tonight, and this is with Dr. William Mackus, an oncologist in Canada, who has been fighting a very brave fight to produce and present the truth as he sees it, and his research is showing him is what we're dealing with. Anything else about this video? It's on America Out Loud.
I picked this out, this section anyway. It's from the same one we played on Monday, just a different section. But he gets into whether or not or why or if it could be or how do we know it's the virus or if it's the vaccine versus the virus that's causing these cancers. And so as an oncologist, he's, you know, rather well prepared to speak on that topic.
I wonder how many professional oncologists right now know about this new research that shows that post-vax and maybe post-shedding cancers, turbo cancers, are primarily spike protein, if not virtually 100% in some cases?
If they're not staining, then they don't know about it.
They can't. That's the only way you can know. So, all right, here we go. Let's see what we got.
And then we need to jump into some questions here. We get some great questions so from listeners. And we promised them we'd get some of these things answered. So I want to fulfill that promise and get them out here. But let me ask you, a lot of the reports I'm seeing, Dr. Mankus, in comparison to like whether these turbo cancers are coming from the vaccines or just COVID, there are a series of people that are saying, no, this is just COVID related. It's got nothing to do with the vaccines. Because of the spike protein buildup and the attack to the body, it's happening. Just people have had COVID. What can you tell us is the succinct differences, or have you been convinced that it's way beyond just having COVID and the damage to the human body versus definitely a product of a vaccine? I mean, has all doubt been removed for you? And what can you share with folks to understand that?
When you look at individuals like Ed Dowd, who has looked into the data, who has looked at U.S. insurance data, for example, or U.K. government disability data. And he has published evidence that there has been a significant increase in disabilities from cancer starting in 2021. That's where you see the inflection point. We don't really see it in 2020. So if it had been COVID-19, we would expect to see a significant rise in cancers in 2020. In fact, COVID had been circulating. SARS-CoV-2 had been circulating, you know, before 2020. It had actually been circulating throughout 2019. And so we would have seen that spike in cancers in 2019 and 2020. We don't see it. When Ed Dowd puts out the data, or John Baudouin, who's got death certificate records, over a million death certificate records in Massachusetts and Minnesota, that he's, you know, spoken to in the Senate, and in Senate hearings, you simply don't see that spike in cancer as it would relate to COVID. You only see it once the COVID vaccines were rolled out in the beginning of 2021. That's when you see an increase on the order of, 50% increase in certain cancers, 100% increase in certain cancers. We see it timed with the rollout of the COVID-19 vaccines. Anecdotally, I've reported over 1,000 of turbo cancer cases on my social media, and I can tell you, I see this as a phenomenon specifically associated with the Pfizer and Moderna mRNA vaccines. I'm not seeing it with Johnson & Johnson vaccines or AstraZeneca vaccines. I'm really seeing this as a problem of mRNA vaccines.
Mm-hmm. Wow, it continues to...
We might point out that AstraZeneca and J&J are really no longer available. They've been pretty much taken out of service. Not a moment too late either.
Right.
It continues to shock everyone. The mRNA is the guilty party here constantly in all areas. And you just confirmed that there. All right. Let me do this. We're going to take a pause and we'll come back and answer a lot of questions here. We're speaking here. Now we got Dr. William Mankus here. Of course, Dr. Peter McCullough is here. This is awesome. This is incredible information. And you just feel we're so compelled to have these kinds of broadcasts. I really like this a lot, to be able to, well, clear things up, clarify things. But now we're going to, in moments here, jump into your questions. Just sort of send some great, great questions in, and I want to get them answered while we got the doc here, and we can go over some of these here with you. So, all right, let me just remind everybody, too, to visit us back at AmericaOutloud.news. He is the platform, of course, and it's kind of an interesting place because we have so much.
Let me move it up.
Sleep supplement for a. And check the.
Available in stores and online at clear.com. That is XLEAR.com.
Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio. Make sure you go to our website and check the banner bars. The banner bar.
Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep.
Giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
That's a 5-minute break.
This first one's from Sandra. She says, what percentage of people who received the vaccine came down with a cancer? I don't know if you know that information, do you?
No.
I can tell you, I don't know that information. We simply don't know. We know that about 10 to 15% of people who've taken COVID-19 vaccines will have a serious reaction to it. We know that about, you know, approximately 1% of people will suffer a permanent disability. And then...
10 to 15% who take the shot or shots have a reaction, a serious reaction. I would think that's being very conservative from what we're seeing. I'm just projecting here from the data I have. But I think that even if you're not noticing anything profound in the first 6 to 12 months after you're taking it, knowing what we know and what we presented here about how the spike works, how the mRNA works, how it's not reversible, how prion cascades are created nonstop, how heart damage is created almost immediately, which may not show up, how the blood is thickened, and how many people know that all of a sudden they have sludge blood. They don't know. They're still functional. So I don't. Mm-hmm. That's a tough statistic to try to hang on this catastrophe. It could be 50% minimum who are having serious problems who may not be aware of it. And it's a stealth killer. And anything of an oncological nature is even worse. You just don't know. That's how these people are walking into ER and ICU and being told, well, sorry, you've got stage 4 breast cancer or stage 4 kidney cancer, whatever.
Well, and it's usually more than one. more than one type of cancer.
That's right. All right.
You know, a death will be approximately 1 in 1,000, perhaps up to 1 in 500. And again, this was data that was presented by Ed Dowd at Senator Ron Johnson's hearing on February 26th of this year. In terms of the cancer, we simply don't know. I don't have the data. I know that, you know, the cancers in general are up anywhere from 50 to 100%. Depending on the type of cancer. And of course, the American Cancer Society, the Canadian Cancer Society, they are suppressing this data. They don't want any association or any link made between, you know, the rollout of the vaccines and cancer. But right now, we just don't know how many people are going to be affected long term by cancer.
Would this new development in, we'll call it the type and kind of cancer, and that the turbo cancers seem to be spike-oriented turbo cancers. We don't know if they are symptomatically discoverable like a regular cancer might be. We don't know. You get what I'm saying? You don't necessarily have an ache here or a pain there, but you've got it, and all of a sudden they've looked, and it's stage 4. I didn't know. So I'm wondering if there's some stealth nature to this new kind of cancer, if I may, that is not seen in traditional, wild, violently crazy cell division cancer. It's just different.
Well, it does seem to be sneaking up on people. You know, they as
stealthy.
Nurse Ann has told us, they go to the ER with one complaint, and as they're working up the patient, they discover... You know, these masses
Surprise.
Or lesions or,
They didn't know. Now, with normal cancers, a lot of times people will symptomatically have something to note that's different. But maybe not so with these spike cancers. I don't know.
Wow. You have any idea, I mean, Dr. McCullough and I talk about this all the time. Do you have any idea why these cats are suppressing all this? I mean, any short explanation, any thought, process, summary?
Malcolm, I can just tell you that, you know, I know people want to jump to some type of nefarious intent.
Right.
But I've come.
He's doing it again.
Oh, yeah, that's the same segment we played on Monday.
Oh, it is? Oh,
it
okay.
Is,
I thought he used
is.
The word nefarious again. See, he's really sweeping this at least halfway under the rug by demeaning this whole thing and claiming it's
Yeah, it's a
nefarious.
Vaccine gone wrong.
No. It's a created, conceived, constructed,
yep.
and deployed weapon, Peter. It's a weapon.
Yep.
There's nothing nefarious about it, except it's nefarious. All right.
I come to believe that this is really a religion in medicine. It's an ideology. The doctors are taking these shots themselves, and they are.
How many doctors, after 4 years of watching this, are taking the shots themselves? I throw that out there just as a generic question, a rhetorical question. I doubt that many are taking the shots.
You know, when you and I made those phone calls to the pharmacies, there's still a surprising number of people going for these things.
Great naivete is in evidence. There's no question about it. We got nearly 100 a day at a Walgreens, between 50 and 100 a day at a Rite Aid, and they're all kind of bracing now for the new release, which will be in about 6 or 8 weeks of the new one. So, yes. But I just honestly, a doctor would have to be awfully damn dumb after looking at this horror for 3 to 4 years and not getting it and injecting himself. Doesn't work for me.
I see doctors defending these things, you know.
I'm amazed. I believe you, and I just mind-boggling. Mind-boggling.
I know, it is. I agree.
All right.
Are themselves developing cancer and miserable with these cancers. Our worldwide leaders are taking the shots themselves.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's where you draw the line.
No. Donald Trump, no.
No.
Diaper Joe Biden, no. His lovely bride, no. None of these heavy hitters are getting injected.
Mm-mm.
Maybe if they go through the motions, it'll be saline. But most of them don't even go through the motions anymore. So I don't know, Dr. McCullough, what you're doing here. But it's like you're not confronting this head on. But whatever, it's your right to do it any way you want.
This is a belief system. The more shots, the better. It doesn't matter if they've had COVID or not, how many times they've had COVID, side effects. We presented a paper at the American Society of Microbiology, and this doctor came up to us and talked to us at our poster. He said he had 5 shots. He got to the point he couldn't use his arm. He needed rehab. And he looked me in the eye. He goes, well, if they come out with another one this fall, I'm taking it. Malcolm, this is a religion. This is endless. You know, one of my friends in Dallas, my go-to referral for ear, nose, and throat, took 2 shots, and he now has essentially a turbo cancer. It started in his sinuses. It's already in his lungs, his spinal canal, his brain. I've never seen sinus cancer behave this way. My wife called for an appointment to see a podiatrist. They said he's out indefinitely because he has invasive esophageal cancer. I mean, these are doctors my age or younger. Malcolm, we've never seen this before. I agree with Dr. Mackus. It is turbo cancer. That is the best term that's come out in the pandemic. It nails it. It's cancer basically turbocharged.
Yeah. Wow. Malcolm, to Dr. McCullough's point, just to add to that, the more shots you take, the higher the risk you have of developing cancer. And one of the reasons for that is that there is this phenomenon with your immune system called the IgG4 antibody shift. And what it means is that once you've taken the first 2 injections, once you've taken the first 2 doses, your immune system starts to completely change the type of antibody that it produces. Instead of IgG1 and 3, it produces IgG4. And IgG4 is a tolerance antibody, starts to tolerate the spike protein. So you take injection number 3, suddenly you have skyrocketing IgG4. Well, what IgG4 also does is it completely shuts off cancer surveillance. It makes cancer invisible to your immune system. So imagine all these people that have taken a 3rd shot, 4th shot, 5th shot, they've effectively completely shut off their immune system. Their immune system can't see cancer cells anymore. And so this is the problem, that we've had recommendations to take these shots every 6 months. You have doctors who've taken 5, 6, 7 shots. I think we're now on our 8th or 9th shot here in Canada, Same thing with nurses. And we had mandates. Teachers were mandated these shots. Police officers, firefighters, the military.
Well, excuse me, but the IgG4 aspect of it would sort of explain what I was suggesting, that the spike turbo cancers are less symptomatic, perhaps, than the regular kind of cancer. Why? Because the mRNA and the spike have created this IgG4 stealth cloak that covers all kinds of things that your immune system would normally notice. It's insidious how evil this thing is.
Yeah.
Whoever put this together, I still don't think is entirely human necessarily. That's just me. All right.
And we're seeing an explosion of these cancers in every vaccine-mandated profession. That's where we're seeing these cancers. In working-age people, people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, in jobs where they were mandated to take these shots.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy what you say there. I mean, it's almost time that the profession, you know what the profession now to get into? The profession I would almost recommend for people if you want a good future? Mental health. Mental health. These people are out of their minds. I mean, really, though.
Or law. At some point in time, there's going to be a big swing of legal activity. We're already seeing this.
Are they perhaps? I'm always trying to look at things through the AI filter. Are they trying to kill off much, if not most, of the real functionally competent part of Western medicine, so AI can take it over? Because there won't be enough doctors. They just won't.
I do think that's part of it. I think that they think they can administer medicine,
right,
medical care, through algorithms.
Yep. Okay, I'll leave it there. But I think I agree. I think there's more to this than most people are even envisioning at this point. There's a long-term plan here, which is actually going to be a fairly short-term plan, I'm afraid.
Pfizer's being sued in 5 states. We heard a story about a Canadian nurse who basically won a settlement, if I'm not correct on this. Correct me, but it was substantial because she got fired because she wouldn't take a vaccine. So we're starting to see it, Malcolm. I think law would be a good field to go into. Before we take any more questions, I have to ask Dr. Mekas this. For our listeners who have cancers now that are being diagnosed, they're having biopsies done or having the tumors removed, what should they ask the doctors and specifically the pathologists? What tests should they do on the tumors or the tissue to determine if the vaccine has played a role in the cancer?
Well,
And that leads to what we've been saying. These new turbo cancers are showing up with unbelievable amounts of spike protein in them. Let's see where they go with this.
Ideally, the pathologists would be staining the tissues. They would be staining it for mRNA. They would be staining it for the spike protein. Maybe they would be doing some genetic testing or sequencing of the tumor cells, because this is work that has been done by some pathologists like Dr. Ryan Cole in the United States, like Dr. Arne Burkhardt in Germany. They've done staining of these turbo cancers, these tumors, and they have found spike protein all over the tumor, spike protein from the vaccine. And so this could at least give us an idea if there was a contribution to the cancer from the vaccine. Maybe there was an integration event. There's a lot of work being done right now on this integration of this DNA contamination, right? These DNA plasmids, some of them which have the SV40 promoter sequence in it that is potentially carcinogenic itself. So a lot of work being done to identify if there's been integration.
Can you elaborate on that just a little bit? Integration. For everybody, so they get it.
Well, that's when this foreign genetic material, the linear DNA that's not supposed to be in there, makes its way to the nucleus and inserts itself
permanently.
Yeah, usually, yeah, yeah, and you know, that can have grave repercussions if it's in the area of where there may be a cancer promoter or cancer suppressor gene.
Right. Well, and this goes back to P53, et cetera.
Which, well, you have many genes that can control for cancer. And this isn't even getting at the canceling effects of P53 that come from the spike protein.
It's a destroyer in so many ways, the spike. Dr. Chetty was right. Have you seen anything about Chetty in the last week or two since he
died? Yes, I have, actually.
How's he doing?
I didn't see the interview. He did another one with Macmillan on diagnosing severe COVID these days.
All right, good. All right, glad to hear he's still at it. Okay, just another minute or two here. Let's see what we get.
Maybe there's been integration in some of these cancer cells that then, you know, these cells that go on to then develop tumors. So there's a lot of work that can be done. Unfortunately, the mainstream medical establishment is not doing any of this testing.
All right. I'm going to stop there and leave you with the obvious question. Why not? Because they don't want to find out officially and formally what the hell's going on with these turbo tumors and turbo masses, because it's different. And it can be traced right back to the spike protein. Oh, I mean, come on, Novavax. Think about Novavax. Novavax is a type of alleged COVID vaccine. Tell them what Novavax is, briefly.
Well, it's a protein subunit. In this case, it's the spike, the whole spike, the original.
The whole spike.
Yeah, the whole toxic spike, you know, concentrated into one injection. So I think we worked it out one time, how many trillions of spike
a person
is injected with.
Astonishing. So you're just lining up. Go ahead and inject me with a spike. Don't give me the mRNA and have my body make it. Let's just get the spike right in there and get it working. Tearing everything down.
Well, yeah, so you're getting pure spike. With the mRNA, you know, because of the issues with the translation fidelity, meaning, you know, it's not translated properly into a spike because of frame shifting and just degradation of the mRNA itself, you're getting a lot of junk protein in there too, which makes the prospect of coming up with an antisense or small silencing RNA therapy that Peter McCullough described, I don't know, a few weeks ago in that paper as a antidote to this poisoning. Yeah. How are you going to do that? Because everybody got a slightly different code and translated it slightly differently, and they're making not just spike, they're making countless other types of junk proteins, many of which are probably amyloid generating. I really think they just dangled that out there as a carrot to keep these vax injured people placated.
I think you're right. All right, let's jump over to our human chronicles here. Go back to June 28th. You can pull that up.
Okay.
And write down.
All right, go. Yeah.
Is there something we need to jump on real quick here? Okay.
No.
June 28th, right near the bottom, we have at the bottom, Vax Carnage. Vax Carnage. You see that one?
Yep.
It's all right.
Here's think we did that.
Half. Did we? I don't have it clicked.
Yeah, we did that.
Okay. Somehow it was restored to its pristine condition here. Okay, let's see. Vaccine regrets, just above that.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Question. How do you emotionally cope with the fact that you allow this poison into your body? I look back and cannot believe I made the choice I did. My gut said no, but I was under so much pressure to get it from family, friends, mentors, doctors, and colleagues, convinced I would literally die otherwise, or selfishly harm and kill others. My mom even drove me to the clinic against my will, and I gave up and got it. was disabled from a bad injury at the time and required full-time care. I ran out of fight. And ultimately, I chose this, and I don't know why I didn't see through the mass manipulation of pharma, governments, family, media, and doctors. Even my naturopathic doctor said to get it due to being high risk. I don't recognize my behavior from back then, and I'm horrified I allowed myself to be manipulated into being in a clinical trial. It is abuse. But also, how could I have been so blind? How do you emotionally cope with having gotten the shot?
That's a very profoundly difficult question to confront yourself with. And there's embarrassment, there's shame. There's what happened to my common sense? What happened to my integrity? Why didn't I stand up for what I believed? You can go on and on with this.
Yeah,
but,
not a good place to be.
No. You see, and I'm horrified I allowed myself to be manipulated into being in a clinical trial. Well, he or she is still wrong. It was not a clinical trial. It is not a clinical trial. It's a deployed weapon. End of story.
Not everyone can accept that.
No, that makes it even worse.
I know.
So the final sentence there is, read the very last sentence again. That was important. We'll go ahead.
Okay.
How do you
emotionally cope with having gotten the shot?
See, the one thing Peter McCullough said, and he's probably correct, those who survive are going to need psychological help.
Yeah.
This is going to be emotionally devastating for a lot of people. Devastating. Imagine being a parent who forced your child to take this. How do you live with that?
Mm.
If you love your kids, and if you don't love your kids, you shouldn't be a parent. All right, the next piece on that one. I knew many patients who developed different long-lasting symptoms after they took the injection. I know lots of people. There's second half to this. Second half. It's
vaccine regrets.
Vax carnage number
no,
two.
No. We're under vaccine regrets.
Oh, you read that. All right. Well, I'll take part two then.
Okay.
Of vaccine regrets. I thought it was under vax carnage. All right. Oh, I remember. I said, reread the last sentence. I was thinking Vax Carnage is the last entry in this group. Okay. I struggle with this every day. I always tell myself, I'm smarter than this. I should have trusted my gut, etc. It's hard, but we can't turn back time. And there's someone right on that responding with, thank you for posting this. I literally say to myself sometimes, I could kick my own ass for taking this poison. I held out, too, until 2022, but gave in because there was a job I wanted badly, and also the current job was pressuring me to get it. I moved forward with it, but I could have had COVID earlier and recovered fine. Most of my family got it with no issues, and thinking of how my asthma could leave me susceptible to all of those reasons played in my head, but mostly for work. So stupid I was. And the irony now is I can't even pursue job opportunities to grow anymore. I'm in bad shape all over with muscle loss. Now what runs in my mind is how much time do I have left? Pretty damn grim.
Yeah.
As a mental health professional, I spent the greater part of 3 years with rationalization. When I learned how Big Pharma had studies, although small without validity or reliability, outlining serious reactions, I got really angry at everyone, especially myself. I ended my career as a risk manager. How did I not have a better sense of wait and see? Go ahead.
Trust but verify is how I practiced for 16 years. I finally came to a place of grace, not granted to me, rather by the God I believe in, or not granted by me, rather by the God I believe in. Now I do my best each day to remain grateful for the blessings along my path. There are many, and I expect many more now that I'm looking. Letting go of the anger has been difficult. It was necessary for my survival. Those responsible will face a reckoning of their own. And
I hope to hell they do. There's no vigilante justice being dished out to them. God knows many of them deserve it. We're not calling for that, but I would think human nature would prevail at some point.
Yeah, especially when the justice system isn't really doing anything.
Just us. That's what it is.
Yep. Another person says, my son, who was 21 when the vax came out, and he warned me, begged me not to take it. I, like you, believed I was doing the right thing. I guess I can count myself lucky that I only got hyperacusis, which, although it's a life-altering condition, is sort of manageable. We were all guinea pigs.
Oh, yeah. True victimhood. True victimhood. These people were set up and sacrificed. It's hideous.
Yeah. If you jump over to tonight's, we've got a few more like that.
Ready.
Where's...
amyloidosis, swallowing, cancer from shedding,
died suddenly. How to move forward.
Okay. We've all been devastated by the vaccine. Many, like me, are so damn sick all the time we can't work. I'm also severely immune compromised. Throw in PTSD and severe depression, all from the jab. My main issue now is, how do I move forward from this? I don't see a future. I actually have no purpose in life. I only have my two grown-up boys who have their own families and careers. I have no parents, siblings, cousins, and my friend group has shrunk tremendously. I can't study also due to my injury. How are you all moving forward?
Okay, a couple answers. I understand perfectly. Life has become hard for us. I am a man, and I am very ashamed when I write and think these things. I feel very ashamed when I cry. My crying is because of the anger I have inside. But I have to be strong because I always have been. I've always been very strong in many things, and for this reason, over the years, the people close to me now cannot understand how this time, if I complain and cry, I have real reasons. However, I am writing to tell you that I understand you. Waking up in the morning, always very sore, tired, and living every day hoping that the evening will come again to lie down is a very bad thing. I am close to you, and I hug you tightly.
There are so many aspects to this. Now, you just heard another example of people really rising to the occasion of caring about others. It's the highest kind of morality you can have. And it's very encouraging to see that. People.
Well, these groups are,
if they weren't,
you
there,
know, a lifeline for people.
I can't imagine. Oh, be unbelievable without them. The best thing for social media ever. Maybe the only thing. All right. I mean, who cares how many rolls of toilet paper you bought yesterday? Come on. I'm experiencing the same thing going on almost 3 years now. Do you how many people are like this who are still quasi-functional and who, for all intents and purposes, are viewed by most around them as being still functional? And yet they're living these lives of horror. This is so wicked evil, it's unbelievable. I'm experiencing the same, going on almost 3 years now. I still dearly mourn my pre-vax days. My life wasn't perfect by any means, but I was able to eat without debilitating stomach pain. I didn't have insomnia. I didn't have strange and obscure intolerances to foods I've been eating all my life. My heart wasn't palpitating and racing after 5 minutes of activity. I was able to work, and being able to do things outside of the house was a normal thing. So many things I took for granted back then, yet I'd give anything to go back to those days. What comes next? I'm not sure, but the positive side of me likes to think that whatever is attacking my body will eventually subside. I just have to hold on as best as I can until then.
Okay, we've got two more. I'm in a similar boat to yours, but without the depression and PTSD. Sure, I've lost my career due to the injury, and I did mourn the loss, but I have been able to move on and find new interests and activities to give my life meaning. Having said that, I'm still going to pursue compensation for the losses caused by the injury, but it's not going to stop me from doing things and exploring activities that I enjoy.
All right, now let me just hold on. Give me the floor.
And last one. I have same side effects, awful, some days. I think I'm dying. Maybe one day a week I can go to the store or church. I think it's terrible the medical industry has done nothing. I pray for us all.
That's a very good way to end it. We should all care and hope for all of you listening who are suffering like this. We do care, or we wouldn't be here doing this. There's not going to be anything that we can see yet that will reverse this nightmare. We hope that one day we'll find something that does make a huge difference and can roll this back, but not yet. So you need to hang on. And just know you aren't alone, even if you feel like it. You aren't alone. There are people who care. All right. Thank you. Great job. And
okay. My pleasure, Jeff. Okay. You too. Good night, everyone.
And we'll be back with hour number three. So stay right there.